In the world of film and television, comic book culture has exploded, but in the world of old-fashioned paper comics, readership is still considered fringe. Today's hilarious pilot Back Issues explores that world. We've got all that and more here on the Unproduced Table Read.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Unproduced Table Read here on the Popcorn Talk Network. You guys know this song?
Yeah, Deadpool.
Yes. I was thinking, like, comics? Deadpool is a comic book guy, right?
Okay. Yes. Why are you saying that as a question?
I am not super... I haven't seen the Deadpool movies.
Yeah.
I've seen the Avengers ones and the Spider-Man.
Those are different. All
Black
different
Panther.
Studios.
I know.
Yes. All different studios.
As you guys can tell, I'm not the most knowledgeable about comic books, but I'm excited because... I know. We do have comic book super fans of the panel, which is awesome. And the readers or the writers we're bringing into today's studio are comic book super fans. I have mad respect for people who love comics. I'm just not one of them. But I'm super excited because we're reading a comic book oriented script today called Back Issues. It's hilarious. It's fresh. It kind of reminds me of like a Sharp FX pilot. We're going to get into all that and more. But before we do, I should introduce myself. Guys, my name is Jeff Graham. This is the Unproduced Table Read, a show where we read Hollywood's hottest unproduced pilots and features. And of course, I need actors. I'm not alone. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, yeah. Thank you so much. I'm Sean Paul Payton, for those of you who do not know.
And Sean, who are you reading for today?
Today I am reading for the amazing superstar Zach.
Yes, that's right.
Hey guys, I'm Adrian Snow. I'm reading for Bryce and Larissa.
What's up, guys? I'm Timothy Michael. I will be reading for Boy, Sean, and Anton today.
And David Johnson, you're back.
Hey, guys, I'm back. I'm David Johnson. I'll be reading for Keith, Liam, and Gary today.
And I should mention to you guys, I'm going to read today.
Oh.
I've got Jones, and I've got William. So
nice.
It's going to be a great time. Jake and Keith are based in Denver. They have some exciting stuff. Jake has worked in TV film. He's developed some shorts. Actually, one of his scripts placed in the finals of the short scripts competition in Denver and was an inaugural recipient of the Amazon Studios Writing Competition Award,
nice.
Which is pretty cool. We've had some Amazon buzz in our studio before, so we're excited to have Jake. And Keith, who's Jake's writing partner, is a comic book shop owner. So definitely
cool.
Coming from the... Is it the horse's mouth? Is that the expression?
What?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree.
Yeah, it's coming from the horse's mouth because Keith owns a comic
something
book
like
shop,
that.
Which our script is about today. So
it's amazing.
Pick a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
let us know in the comments if I'm using that expression right. So as I mentioned, guys, today's pilot's called Back Issues. It's got some Big Bang elements. It's following a group of like insular nerds who work at a comic book shop whose world is disrupted when a new character is introduced. I think that's all I need to say because the script really speaks for itself. So with that, I say we get into it. Guys, this is the pilot script to a comedy called Back Issues. The pilot episode is called Ursula Goes Kaboom. And the script is written by Jake Minette and Keith Boyle, who will be calling in. Let's get into it. Teaser. Exterior strip mall day. Suburban Denver, the Rocky Mountains in the distance. Between a dry cleaners and a Chinese restaurant is I Want More Comics. Comic book posters and signs in the windows. Interior comic book store day. Keith, 36, flips through a comic. He's tall and skinny, a couple days' growth of stubble on his face, and an X-Men t-shirt. He looks up from the comic with a sigh, beams his annoyance directly at us.
Do I look like an asshole?
He closes the comic, shakes it in his hand as he talks.
Let me guess. You found this at some garage sale and thought, holy crap, issue number one, it's going to be worth a fortune.
He tosses the comic down on the counter.
You know what a fortune would be? If I had a nickel for every dickhead like you that came in thinking some old comic they found was their ticket to early retirement.
He picks the comic book up, points out flaws on the cover.
Your email said mint condition. This is not mint condition. This is jail rape. Dry, rough, Oz season 6 jail rape. I'll give you $1.75 store credit.
We now see who he's talking to. A young boy, 12 at most, eyes welling up with tears.
But... I wanted to get my brother a Spider-Man statue for his birthday.
So I'm supposed to hemorrhage money because your dad didn't have better reflexes?
He tosses the comic in front of the kid.
Get the hell out of my store!
The kid grabs the comic and sulks out the door. Keith looks up and sees Sean, 39, and Zach, 25, stunned in place as they're removing a display, jaws dropped.
What?
End teaser. Act 1. Interior comic store day. Zach and Sean huff and struggle to carry a display case of new comics closer to the entrance. Keith stands by idly and watches them toil.
You can't be such a dick to the customers, especially the kids.
I could give a rat's ass about kids. I want people with disposable income and poor impulse control, not punks with lemonade stand money.
Yeah, but kids are going to be those customers someday. We got to get them early, like the tobacco companies.
Or crack dealers.
Exactly.
Keith comes over and inspects where they put the display.
Move it a little further from the door.
It'll be fine.
It's right next to the door. This place is going to be packed tomorrow, and I don't want these savages doing a snatch and dash.
The door opens, and Jones, 30s, in a Bronies t-shirt, enters. What up, people?
Sup, Jones?
Jones snaps his fingers and points at Zach. You, boy, fetch my box. Mush! Zach lowers his head, sulks around the corner to hold the slot-long boxes, and pulls one marked Jones. Jones looks at the new item and display in the door. You know, if you keep the new stuff right by the door, these little assholes are going to grab a handful and bolt. Keith gives Sean a smug smirk. Sean throws up his hands.
Fine, whatever.
Jones steps up to the counter and drops his credit card down. Zach swipes it and bags the comics. When the hell's Gary's coming back? He'd be all up in your gravy about this stuff.
He's kind of out of the day-to-day since he had that kid.
Why? Is he, like, breastfeeding the thing?
He's just taking, what do you call it, paternity leave?
Keith and Sean get on either side of the display and lift. Keith guides it away from the door. So what's up with Comic-Con tickets? Can you hook me up early or what?
No can do. They go on sale tomorrow.
Jones turns to Keith and Sean as they put the display down. Seriously, guys?
Those are the rules.
What, you think I'm going to tell someone you hooked me up early?
You'll tweet it the second you walk out the door.
Whatever, dude. You going to do a retailer's panel this year?
Hell no. I'm not going to sit there for an hour and paint some happy, sappy fiction for the few troglodytes that wander in hoping to be convinced that running a comic store is the dream job they think it is.
Seriously, Keith, it's not that bad.
Not that bad? Zach, I'll give you a pass because you haven't been an owner long enough to grasp the full tragedy of your role.
Oh, here it comes, the doomsday prophet.
We bear the brunt of this industry's incompetence. The creators, the publishers, they can fail without consequence because they already have our money. We committed to the order, so we end up sitting on a mountain of back issues. That's what we should put up front. Let the riffraff pilfer the old stuff with reckless abandon and we can just write it off.
Strategic thievery. Now there's a winning business model. The panels are good exposure for us. Who cares if it's dishonest? Look at Garvey. We're trying to get him to sign at our booth, and his comic is the biggest unfleshed upper decker I've ever read.
Michael Garvey? The Wolf Zone dude?
Yeah. He used to be a customer. Keith went to high school with him.
Keith went to high school? The door swings open, and in walks Pouquet. The Pouquet brothers, William and Bryce, 29, identical twin hipsters, only distinguishable from their facial hair. They're in skinny jeans and vests with pork pie hats and non-prescription glasses. The brothers stop at the door and sneer at him.
And then there's these assholes.
The brothers stop at the door. Oh, the brothers stop at the door and sneer at him.
Charming.
Why are you two mucus plugs darkening my doorway?
The brothers look at each other, huge grins. I don't think they know yet, Bryce.
I don't think they do, William.
They turn to look at Keith, so smug.
Excellent.
Know what?
We're here to have a little look around. Do a little research to see if we want to buy into this shit show.
Buy in? We're not selling.
No, you're not. But Gary is.
The guys all look at each other, confused. It really is quite delicious that we get to be the ones to break it to you.
But don't worry. I think you'll find we are very fair and generous business partners.
Until we buy out the rest of you. And liquidate. Sean and Keith are seething. Zach just looks confused.
I don't know what you think you know, but there is no way we would ever sell to you jagoffs. So how about you take your hipster hats and your wallet chains and get the hell out of our store?
Fine. The old man stinking here was starting to get to us anyway. But know this. One day you will realize that you are not cut out for this business and you'll be begging us to buy you out.
And we will. For pennies on the dollar. Because you are small time.
Yeah, well, we've been open a hell of a lot longer than you ass clowns.
And yet, which one of us has the resources to buy the other out?
William winces dramatically. Ouch. Now I know you felt that. That was him snapping it off in your ass. They make a mic drop motion with their hands and walk out. The guys all stand there a moment, defeated. Yo, you guys should lawyer up. I got a guy I can hook you up with. Jones takes out his wallet, flips through dozens of business cards and clipped coupons.
I don't think we're quite there yet.
Oh, no? If Gary's going to sell his share out from under
us... I'll talk to him. I'm sure it's not like that.
Interior Gary's house night. Gary, 45, in a sweater vest and khakis and a baby slung across his chest, loads stacks of comics into a cardboard box in a room full of boxes. A former man cave now being dismantled.
Yeah, sorry. It's like that.
Sean watches him dumbfounded.
Gwen wants to cash out and invest the money.
Dude, I know she's your wife and all, but you can't just...
Yeah, and you never did show her any respect. You called her butt stuff in your wedding toast.
I was drunk, and you're the one who told us about that story.
The baby cries a little bit, and Gary nods to a bottle on top of a box.
Pass that over.
Sean sighs, passes him the bottle, and the baby quiets down.
This right here? This is my future.
Oh, what about our future? Me and Keith and Zach?
I'm sorry, but it's not my problem. I have a family now.
You had a family already. Larissa?
Let's face it. I wasn't a very good father to her. I'm going to do it right this time.
Sean looks around at all the boxes, finally realizing what's going on.
So, what? You're done with comics altogether?
Have you ever asked yourself what the end game was with all this collecting? What's the point of it all?
No! It's just who we are!
The point is that, at best, it's an investment. And it's time for me to cash it out. All of it.
Keith would punch you in the neck if he heard you say that, you know.
Well, as soon as Keith has kids, he'll see it the same way. You too. What have you got in your life?
I had you. We were in this together.
Sean looks over and sees a Batman statue wrapped in bubble wrap. He picks it up.
You know what? I bought this for you. This was my investment. So you don't get to sell this to line your little nest egg with butt stuff.
Please don't call her that.
And I tell you another thing. We're not powerless here, okay? We got a lawyer.
Already?
Well, we got a lawyer's number. You really think we would let you sell to those douche nozzle Paquette brothers?
Gary thinks a moment.
What?
There's another interested party.
Who?
Exterior comic book store day. Sean and Zach are on ladders on either side of the large banner across the front of the store. They each tie their side in place. The banner says, Denver Comic-Con tickets on sale today. Keith watches from the sidewalk below.
Larissa? Gary's daughter, Larissa? Isn't she like 15?
She's 22. She just graduated. Her mom's offering to buy Gary's share of the business for her as a graduation present.
Is she cute?
Sean gives him the annoyed look.
I'm good with that, as long as she's as hands off as Gary's been recently.
Well, not exactly. She wants to be involved.
A kid in a Wolverine costume walks up to the front of the store.
Hey, we're not open yet. Beat it.
The kid startles and runs off. Keith turns back to Sean.
Involved. Define involved.
She has a degree in business administration.
Well, whoopity-doo. Let her go manage a Walmart. This is a whole different animal.
Well, she knows the comic world. She was at the store every day until her mom took her to Cali.
So every little turd who spends their allowance at our store is qualified to run it?
Sean and Zach climb down the ladders. All three step back and look at the sign.
I think my side's crooked.
Zach climbs up the ladder.
I think we should talk to Jones's guy before we decide anything.
The sound of a rumbling car engine and hordes of voices come from behind. They turn to see a line of cars enter the parking lot and swarms of people in various costumes lumber toward them.
Put a pin in this for now. We've got business.
End Act 1. Act 2. Interior comic store day. The guys stand at the back of the store as a mass of people in costumes claw at the window outside like zombies. The guys look at each other, take a deep breath.
Here we go.
Montage. As various customers post and tweet on their phones, the posts pop up on the screen. The front door opens and a horde of customers pour in. Zach and Keith scramble to take money and ring up orders. Sean shows a guy in a Deadpool costume the Discount Comics. A whole group in Avengers costumes tweet themselves holding up Comic-Con tickets. A couple of kids grab the cheap costumes near the door and run out without paying. Keith gives Sean an annoyed look. Sean works the line, slaps hands, greets customers. A guy in a Batman costume buys a Robin statue. A Robin statue. He takes a selfie of himself kissing it. Sean takes a series of selfies that flash on screen, with Harry Potter, then Wolverine, a stormtrooper. A pair of little Jawas slap fight in line. A guy in the crow makeup takes a picture and tags it with Jawa fight. More money changes hands, customers tweet their purchases. Keith sees the Jawa fight and rushes over to break them up. One of the Jawas pulls off its hood and it's the boy he berated the day before. The scene becomes a Vine video of the boy kicking Keith in the balls, looped over and over. Montage ends. Interior comic store night. Zach rings up a customer in a Wookiee costume and sends them on their way. There are two customers left, Jones and Liam, 30s, a customer in a Klingon costume, both casually Jones and Liam, 30s, a customer in a Klingon costume, both casually read comics off the rack. Keith holds up a ticket.
Last ticket, fellas.
Jones and Liam scramble to the counter. Liam says something in Klingon.
English, please. I got here first. Give me the ticket.
Whoa, what about me? I've been in line all goddamn day. Keith looks to Sean and Sean shrugs.
I think I know how we can resolve this.
Interior comic store, back room, night. The back room is split into two sides. One side is a business office with a desk, computer, and round table. The other side is a rec room with a big screen TV and video game consoles, couches, and a small stocked bar. Jones and Liam sit on the couch in front of the big screen. Keith holds up a DVD.
Are either of you familiar with the Croatian depth charge videos?
They both shrug.
They're a very rare series of videos that came out in the early aughts. The best way to describe them would be if you multiplied two girls, one cup by infinity, and watched it on bath salts. And the undisputed masterpiece of the genre is a little piece of magic called Ursula Goes Kaboom. It is 2 minutes and 39 seconds that will change your life forever. I don't know about this. Whichever of you can sit through the entire video without flinching or looking away gets the ticket.
At full price.
Yes, thank you, Sean. At full price. Agreed.
Liam and Jones look at each other. Rock and roll. Interior comic store night. Zach reads a comic at the counter. The door opens and Larissa, 22, comes in. She's dressed up in goth clothes and makeup. Zach looks up, does a double take as he sees her. He comes out from behind the counter.
Hey, can I help you find anything?
She looks around the first aisle of comics.
You got Lumberjanes?
Zach rushes from around the corner to help her.
Yeah, hell yeah.
He leads her further down the aisle to the Lumberjanes comics.
How caught up are you on the series? Because we got a bunch of back issues.
Oh, you keep a lot of old inventory on hand?
Yeah, I guess.
Liam storms out the back room to the front door.
You people are sick!
He throws open the door and leaves.
What the hell is that about?
Another satisfied customer.
Jones comes out of his place, ticket clutched in hand, a smile frozen on his face. Piece of cake, bitches. He marches right out the front door.
And him?
Quick shot. Jones in his car, head against the steering wheel, sobbing uncontrollably. Back to scene. Sean and Keith come out of the back room laughing. They stop as they see Larissa.
Larissa?
He walks over and gives her a big hug.
Jesus, what's with this goth stuff?
Zach nudges his way in.
Oh, hey, you're Larissa. I'm Zach. I guess we're, like, business partners.
Well, we're still working that out. You want to grab a coffee or something before we get into this?
Scotch.
Okay, or scotch.
You still got the bar in the back room?
Yeah.
She marches to the back and passes Keith.
Hey, Keith.
He looks to Sean. Sean can only shrug. Interior comic store, back room, night. Larissa downs a shot of scotch as the guys file into the room. They keep their distance and observe.
First time I got drunk was back here.
I remember. You puked peach schnapps all over the trade paperbacks.
She pours two more shots and holds them up.
So who does your finances?
I do.
She hands one of the shots to Keith. He looks to Sean, not happy with where this is going.
Now we both do.
She clinks her glass against his, then downs her shot.
Come on, drink.
Keith puts the shot down and flashes Sean an annoyed look.
Well, we still need to talk about
what's there to talk about? I'm the one my dad can sell to who won't shut the place down.
Keith stares her down a moment, then turns to the door.
Hold on, where are you going?
I'm not going to have some little kid come in here and start dictating terms. I'm going to see Jones's guy. Let's go, dude.
I think I want to stay and...
Keith glares at him.
Okay, yeah.
Zach follows him out the door. Sean stands there a moment, uncomfortable. Then he motions to the table.
So, I guess we should talk.
He sits down. She sits across from him. A tense beat. Larissa slaps the table and breaks the silence.
Okay, I'm just going to throw this out there. We should have sex.
Sean registers complete horror, shakes his head.
That's not gonna happen.
She gets up and walks over to him. He jumps and retreats.
Oh, come on. We're both consenting adults.
I think it would just be... it would just get too weird.
Oh, why would it be weird? It's not like we're blood relatives or anything, right?
He backs up against the wall, then something suddenly occurs to him.
You know, don't you?
She smirks and backs away.
What do I know?
You say it.
Oh, screw you. You say it.
He pauses a moment, works up the nerves.
I'm your father.
She takes that in a moment and nods.
Thanks.
She suddenly hauls off and slugs him in the arm.
You asshole.
What the hell?
You're my dad's goddamn best friend.
Sean sits down, rubs his arm, looks away ashamed.
It's complicated.
Yeah, you think?
Does your mom know that you know?
Oh, yeah. Have fun with that, by the way.
Sean grits his teeth, curses under his breath.
So, what happens now?
She pours a couple of shots and hands Sean one.
Oh, what happens now is that he's still my dad, and you're still Uncle Sean, and he never finds out.
Oh, of course not. It would kill him.
That, and him, and that new wife of his would rain down lawsuits on you. He'd probably get your piece of the store and shut it down on general principle.
Jesus, you really are a business school grad, aren't you?
She smiles, holds up her drink.
So we agree. After tonight, we never speak of this again.
Sean nods, they clink glasses, and down the shots. Interior, lawyer's office, night. The office is decorated with paintings of bondage-clad women and Lady Death-style artwork and sculptures. Anton, 40s in a black suit, thinning hair and wispy goatee, sits across from Keith and Zach at his desk. Anton gently strokes a small statue of a busty woman with a sword on his desk as he speaks.
Jones filled me in on your business predicament. Your business partner is looking to sell, and you're uncomfortable with the potential buyers.
Yeah, that's about right.
A moaning sound comes from a large wooden chest with heavy locks next to the desk.
Is there something in there?
That's just Eldon. He's in timeout.
Keith and Zach look at each other, disturbed.
I'll be honest, gentlemen. You'd be better off investing all of your money in scratch-off lottery tickets than trying to continue on run on independent comic book store. Today's retail climate favors the internet and the big box stores.
We do make money. It's not like we're going out of business.
I'd like to propose a solution to your problem that has been successful for my clients before. One that could bring you a nice bit of cash. But I need to take a look at your store first. See what you're dealing with.
Keith and Zach look to each other and nod.
Sure. Right now?
No time like the present.
Anton stands up. He's not wearing pants, only a leather jock strap. He picks up a pair of slacks and puts them on.
Is that to make sure your pants don't get creased when you sit?
Anton's confused, shakes his head.
No.
He walks to the door. Keith and Zach hesitate, then stand up and follow. After a moment, one more moan comes from the box. End Act 2. Act 3. Interior comic store back room night. Larissa pours the last two shots from the bottle. Sean is on the couch, drunk.
So are there any genetic defects I need to worry about?
She hands him his shot.
Alcoholism?
Oh, I said defects.
Well, my Aunt Stacy is bat-crap insane. And there's 4 or 5 people in our family who were born with an extra nipple.
Our family?
You asked. Can I ask you something now?
Go for it.
With your degree, you could go work anywhere and make a hell of a lot more money.
That's not a question.
Why are you doing this?
She downs her shot, drops down on the couch.
Well, my mom and I moved to California. I was fine at first. And she started making money, and all of a sudden the only people in our lives are these, like, rich, beautiful, successful business people. It's like being in a cult. You know, I would rather die bleeding from the eyes than become one of them.
But you got your business degree.
You make it sound like it was my choice.
What do you think you're going to get out of this place?
She yawns, drifts.
I don't know. What do you get out of it? I never really thought about it. I guess I kind of took it for granted that it would always be here. Everything's changed now, and I certainly never thought we'd be here talking about it.
He turns, and she's out cold.
That thing we're never going to talk about again.
Interior comic store night. Keith unlocks the front door and comes in with Zach and Anton. Anton looks around, takes notes on a small pad of paper.
So this thing you can do for us, it sounds a little shady.
Oh, it is. We're going to burn down your shop for the insurance. Is this the business office?
He walks to the back room. Keith and Zach stand there a moment, stunned. Interior comic store back room night. Anton comes in. Sean sits up, confused and tipsy.
Who the hell are you?
Keith and Zach come in behind, and Anton extends his hand.
Anton LeBlanc, Esquire. And you are?
Larissa stirs awake as Sean stands up and shakes Anton's hand. She rubs her eyes and stands up. Keith looks at Larissa, then at Sean.
Were you guys banging?
What? No, no, no way.
Well, of course not, with all these interruptions.
Anton looks around at the stacked boxes of old inventory. He nods, writes a few more notes.
Who is this guy?
He's Jones's guy.
He wants to burn down the store and get it for insurance.
Which is actually sounding like a good idea right about now.
Afraid not.
Anton whips his notepad closed and pockets it.
Honestly, gentlemen, from what I see here, even if I could get you set up with a premium policy, you would barely break even, and that's not even taking into account my fees.
Larissa steps forward.
Are you kidding? Look at this.
She flips open a box of old inventory, pulls out a couple comics.
You know what I see here? I see potentially thousands, hell, even hundreds of thousands of dollars in inventory. And look at this. And this, and this.
She stands back, takes a look at the amount of inventory there.
You don't understand this business, do you? You're right, it's not worth burning down because it's worth a hell of a lot more the way it is. We work through all the back issues, streamline our ordering, a few tweaks, this can work.
Keith and Sean look at each other, impressed. Anton sighs, shakes his head.
Fine. There is still the matter of a payment for my time.
Whoa, hold on, isn't this a free consultation?
Nothing in life is free. Just ask Eldon. If you don't have cash, I'd be happy to take it out of your inventory.
Keith shakes his head, walks over to the bar.
Jesus, I give up.
He steps in the remote control and the TV comes on. Everyone turns to the screen and suddenly they cringe and look away. Anton and Larissa keep looking, cocking their heads.
Oh my god. Is that?
Ursula goes kaboom.
Anton approaches the screen, his face lights up, eyes wide.
I thought it was a myth.
Larissa looks to Keith, then to the TV. A light bulb goes off.
How about we make you a copy? For your time, that is.
Anton looks to her in awe, and he nods.
Jesus, turn it off!
Exterior comic store night. Anton walks out with a copy of the DVDs. The guys and Larissa follow. He turns to them.
I wish you all well, but if you should ever need my services, you know how to find me.
He backs away, sinister, into the darkness and disappears.
Well, that was odd.
Larissa steps out in front of them.
So, see you tomorrow?
Sean looks to Zach. Zach nods, then to Keith. Keith hesitates, then nods.
Think I could get a ride back to my hotel? I'm still a little wasted.
Zach steps up.
Absolutely.
Zach motions over to his car, and they walk away. He looks back at Sean and Keith, an excited smile on his face. Keith turns to Sean.
This is going to be kind of weird.
You have no idea.
Keith looks confused.
Give me a lift home?
Sure.
Keith walks towards his car.
Hey, Keith.
Keith stops and turns.
Maybe we should lock up first?
Keith recovers, rushes over to lock the doors.
It'll work.
End Act 3. Tag! Interior comic store, back room day. Sean and Zach sort through receipts on the table. Larissa is on the couch watching the TV with headphones on.
That's why he sucks. He doesn't progress in any way. Three's Company had more character growth.
What the hell is Three's Company?
Jesus, I'm surrounded by children.
Keith comes in and sits at the table.
What's going on here?
Sorting receipts. She's going to refile the past few tax returns.
Keith tenses up, then catches himself and sits at the table. Sean pushes a stack of receipts in front of him.
What were you guys talking about?
Sean says Spider-Man sucks.
The man has his reasons.
Larissa lets out a squealing laugh as she watches a video.
Hey, you think me and her would...
Don't. Okay, just don't.
Because of the whole business relationship thing?
Yeah, something like that.
Larissa takes the headphones off and turns to them.
Sorry, seriously. You guys have never watched this?
No way.
Nope.
She shakes her head and puts her headphones back on.
Pussies.
She hits play again and laughs as she watches. Zach smiles.
You think she wants kids?
Sweet Christ, I hope not.
She laughs again.
Kaboom, splat.
She laughs and laughs as we fade out. All right, guys, that was Back Issues, written by Jake Minette and Keith Boyle. They will be calling in just a minute. For our live viewers, stay tuned. And for those listening on the podcast, we will have the writers right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Unproduced Table Read. We have Jake Minette and Keith Boyle on the line, who wrote the pilot Back Issues, which we just read. Again, they're both Denver-based. Jake is a writer who has placed in the finals of the Short Scripts Competition and the inaugural Amazon Studios Writing Competition. He wrote a short called The 10-Year Ditch in the Denver 48-Hour Film Project, where he won the Audience Award and the Best Direction Award. He also produced a short film called Maintaining and authored the book Movie Reviews with the Guy Living in Your Wall. Keith Boyle, who's our other writer, owns and operates the I Want More Comics store in Thornton, Colorado. Sounds familiar. With daily observation of all the walks of life, he frequents shops like this. He works on channeling retailer frustration into productive avenues like contributing to the writing of sitcom scripts. Keith and Jake, we're so excited to have both of you on the show.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for being
here. You're welcome. Keith, I want to start with you because you're sort of our surrogate into the world specifically of retail comic book stores. Can you talk about both your experience as a comic book store owner and sort of maybe what drove you to pursue a script like this?
Sure. My entry into getting into comic book stores, obviously I was a collector for 20 years, and we all had that local shop that was our favorite place to be. It was shutting down, and a couple of my friends wanted to start up something afterwards, and I kind of got in there because I was going to help with website stuff. It grew from there and became a day-to-day thing. We have a lot of fun with some of it. You know, there's the business side of things that kind of, you know, where you might see some of the frustrations come through with our conversations in there. But when I would tell Jake stories about, can you believe this happened at the shop? Can you believe this thing went on? He took that idea and helped sculpt it into something that we could laugh at and poke fun at and enjoy a lot more.
Keith, I have to ask, are you loosely based? Is the character of Keith in the script loosely based on you?
Yes, it is. There's quite a bit of me in there. We have four partners at the store now. We all have our different roles, our different pieces and all this. And the character Sean is definitely the most likable salesman. Zach is been the most knowledgeable, kind of still young and doe-eyed at some points in time and not beaten down by life. And there's me who is always taking on a little bit more of the business side role and the hardness about it. I'm definitely not as cynical as the Keith character is all the way through, but I can have my moments.
So you've never made a 12-year-old cry?
No, not quite that far. We've definitely turned around and you would rather turn around and tell somebody why their stuff's not worthwhile in a positive way, because you know the ever-threatening Google and Yelp reviews out there. It's existed where, you know, like people haven't been happy with your answer about what their stuff is worth.
Definitely. Okay, so Keith, you spoke with Jake about kind of creating this world, and how did you two know each other, and how did you sort of develop this script as a partnership?
Well, and me and Jake have known each other since late 90s. We were roommates at one point in time, business partners for a long period of time with IT consulting that was our own private business. We've gotten along quite a bit there. Jake has always had the creativity side of things taken care of, and it fit well for me doing a couple like the business angles for that. So to turn around and tell him a funny story about, you know, like the character Jones is definitely, there's a specific customer that makes me think of this guy who's, you know, just has his angle and all this and says some wacky outlandish things. That, you know, that type of thing, he, you know, Jake can refine it and take something like that and make it more of a identifiable character to everyone.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, ultimately, you guys had to, and you successfully incorporated some kind of driving thrust to make this story interesting, and that's the introduction of Larissa. What sort of inspired that, and do you feel like that's, I mean, at least for me, that's the hook that, as someone who's not necessarily interested in comic books, makes me want to watch episode two.
Right. Yeah, that just came about because of I just wanted to give some depth to the characters, and I wanted to introduce a new character as a female character, because it's a very there's not a lot of female characters in this episode, and I wanted to and just in the series as a whole, I wanted a that kind of representation there, and I wanted the character to also just not be a fan, not be a you know, not be a hang around, but be somebody that's like integrated into their past. And it's kind of where I thought the title, Keith came up with the title Back Issues. It kind of deals with, like, yeah, the past is coming back to haunt them a little bit. So that's the kind of the angle I wanted to go with her character.
In the comic world, is there a weird ratio between male and female? Are there a lot more males interested in comics than females?
That's 100% the stereotype. It's 100% true for as recent as maybe 10 years ago. Nowadays, it is striking how diverse the customer base is. It's getting and growing into even the creator side is much, you know, has quite a few people being focused on in that area. I think, like all things in life, you're probably still going to end up in an area where it's not, you know, equal and completely diverse. But we, you know, our environment here is completely built upon the idea that anybody walking in the door can be a fan for any reason. It's not, we definitely have your, what you think of as a stereotypical nerd who still loves the comics from childhood. But the amount of content that's out there that reaches everyone in every different direction creates, you know, such a wide breadth. And I think movies did a lot to bring comics a little bit more mainstream. Yeah. It still feels, you know, you still have a little bit where it feels like it's not quite, you know, 100% accepted. And maybe that's part of the reason why it's cool to get into it if you find the thing you like.
And I think a lot of women grow up liking comics, just not encouraged to go out and buy comics. Mm-hmm. Most of my comics growing up were inherited by my cousins and my brother. And so as much as I had an interest in them, it wasn't like, you know, my mother would drop me off at the Toys R Us or the other one in the mall, I can't remember the name, but versus me going to the comic book store, and I would have to walk myself down to the comic book store.
Interesting.
So it was just, I know a lot of women, when I talk to, I mean, certainly not all of us, but a lot of women I know will privately be in some type of nerddom, and it won't come out until we're older, and we'll be like, yeah, I really love Doctor Who, and I really love, oh my God, the old Daredevil comics, you remember the 50th anniversary? And so, like, we kind of get into that nerdy, that nerddom older.
Huh. Yeah. Keith, I'd kind of be curious, like, so you've mentioned it and you've touched on it, but, like, I do think pop culture's relationship with comic books has shifted a lot over the 15 years. Obviously, the MCU is, like, the biggest grossing franchise, I'd maybe be behind Bond or something, but it's crazy how much money these comic book movies are making now and how they really have entered the mainstream conversation. As someone who's, like, an OG fan of, like, comic books and, like, the specific sort of paper-driven culture of comic books, do you like the fact that these franchises and these worlds are sort of known by the masses, or do you sort of feel like your niche interest has been invaded by the masses?
No, I love it. I think that at the core, one of the things I see continually out here psychology-wise with customers is that we get so deep into comics because we like the escapism first of not dealing with real life. Then we turn around and find this culture of other like-minded, you know, nerds, I'm going to use it without being negative, where I can get along and I can talk to you about it. It's cool. We both share this. We both like Superman. We both like this. We can argue over who the best X-Man is or anything like that. And I then now have a sense of community and I can connect over that. So I think that the idea that it's mine and I don't want to share it with you is not shared in our world, because most people started off under the idea that I want to share this. I want to have something that I can share with everybody and I want to connect with other people, as opposed to it's not about hiding in the underneath the sheets and just reading the books. I want to argue and debate and fight about this, about which one is cooler than the others, and I want more people involved.
Mm. So Jake, I'd love to hear you talk about the process of writing this, sort of especially in regards to structure.
I think this is the first actual like 30 minutes sitcom, and I read a lot of sitcoms, just see how they broke them down. 30 Rock is probably the greatest pilot, sitcom pilot. And it was just that kind of arc where it goes from everything falling apart in the pilot to being rebuilt in this new way. And I felt that was a good way. I refer to 30 Rock again. That's how it kind of unfolded. Was it was destruction of this thing, which was longstanding and established, and now it's getting torn down for whatever reason. And what you're watching and what the series is the rebuilding of that new thing. So that's kind of what I approached with how this opening is them almost losing the store and then taking on a new partner, which gives it a new face and new blood. And that's where we, the audience, come in, is we're watching the birth and growth of this thing. So,
version two.
Yeah.
Larissa is your Tracy Jordan.
Yeah. Jordan.
Nice, I love it. It's so funny. I love the 30 Rock pilot too, but Tina Fey is actually on the record of saying that she hates that pilot, which is so funny.
Oh no!
But I think it's great. So I think it's a great. It's my favorite show of all time. So you're sucking up to me. I appreciate it. Where do you guys see this going next in terms of the whole season?
We had fleshed out an entire season's worth of arcs, and In the pilot, we lay some seeds for future conflicts. They mention this character Garvey and his comic book Wolf Zone, which is this whole plot where this guy that they knew, that Keith knew growing up, is now a successful writer of comic books. And he's kind of like the Robert Kirkman, where his comic book became popular and then got turned into a TV show. And now he's a little too big for, you know, them. So that's a thing we want to explore. And his comic Wolf Zone is actually the original script. Delved into that a bit, and it's kind of a funny thing where he created this world where it's the werewolf apocalypse. You hear like a vampire apocalypse or a zombie apocalypse, but you never hear of the werewolf apocalypse, and it's just a ridiculous concept that the guys just constantly, you know, make fun of. So I thought that was a...
Yeah, why is that successful is going to be something to really go off on that. Larissa's introduction there and resolution, you know, turning around and do the other characters find out about the relationship. Zach's obviously got a little bit of interest in her in the romantic angle and how that kind of pieces out. And then this leading up to where the local con conversation is both using the Wolf Zone thing to try to boost up the store, and you get a little bit deeper into different angles inside the culture that we deal with day to day. You know, going to a convention, you know, putting on a booth, the different pieces like that, and kind of seeing how everybody has to adjust that new life.
Mm, interesting. It's interesting. I feel like the world of comic books and sort of nerd culture, there's always kind of a conversation around, you know, sometimes the toxic masculinity that can creep into that world. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm wondering if that's something you guys are interested in exploring. I feel like we get a little bit of that in the pilot, but I'd sort of like to hear your take on that and whether or not that's of interest to you, or sort of just keeping it light is more what you would like to approach tonally.
No, I actually think, yeah, exploring all the, you know, all the aspects and all the things that are becoming more popularly known. There's, and just in comic culture and just in the wider kind of like, you know, like sci-fi culture and gamer culture and everything, how those types of issues have become real prevalent. And it's, you know, part of the thing is the aspect of the show is that it's not about a bunch of guys coming together and having a good time looking at comics. It's about like the nitty gritty of the business and how the culture impacts the business, how people can, you know, take offense to certain things and certain comics. And, you know, I kind of did a little reading about like the comic codes of the 50s and everything, and how there was a lot of ways that the society tried to control this little subculture. So I think these guys will fall victim to a lot of that stuff. And also they will contribute to it in certain ways. So and in dealing with Keith's relationship, this contentious relationship he has with Larissa, will, you know, span all the different types of conflicts from the business side to basically he doesn't like her because she's younger, and then also sexism can become a kind of conflict. I just don't want to make the characters boorish and unlikable, though. So,
yeah, the Keith character really has to deal with the territorialism. You know, Larissa's establishing right away that she's not going to be put in the closet. She's going to stand out. She's going to contribute to this. And Keith's going to have to come up with and deal with the sharing of duties and integrating other people into where he more often had control and just said the way it was and it just went. And I do think that there's a point in there, even inside with what you bring up there, where it's going to be pointed out, hey, do you just not like her because she's a girl? And he's going to have to realize, oh, you know, that's not what I'm trying to say, but man, it does come out that way.
Interesting. I have some wrap-up questions, but if anyone else has questions before we move on.
Yeah, just one. I thought it was really interesting how you're talking about the comic codes. I'm Sean, by the way. And what are maybe one of them that you found that was really interesting that was used to control the subculture?
Well, the back in the 40s, 50s, when comics became such a huge rise out there, there was a company specifically called Entertaining Comics. The EDC is what they're known out there. They put out a lot of the horror books. Most people are going to be familiar with Tales from the Crypt, which came from that. These are the violent images-looking books on their front, and parents hated the idea that kids were being influenced, were being controlled. You know, they were going to turn into rotten people. The flip side of it was that the books were actually morality tales. They were turning around and telling you, hey, do evil things come back to you. But it became such a big issue. There were congressional hearings. They were turning around and trying to shut it down and develop the Comics Code Authority, the CCA, which was we promise not to, you know, be overtly interfering with your kids' lives kind of deal, to as a self-preservation idea out there.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the word nerd, because we've been throwing it around a lot today, and I hope obviously none of our viewers are offended by that, because I feel like it's not really a derogatory remark anymore. I feel like it's more of like a badge of honor. Do you feel because of like societal rules like shifting from the 1950s and 60s and because of like Comic-Con and MCU and bringing the, you know, comics to more mainstream, do you feel like your kind of, I want to say, demographic has kind of exploded and people look at this word nerd as more of like a badge of honor and want to be called that rather than saying, oh, it's more of like a bully remark?
I think so. Keith is more in the comic world. I know a lot about comics through Keith, but I'm more of a movie fan, and I would call myself a movie nerd. I would call myself that kind of nerd. So I kind of do feel like it does, as far as it's a thing, almost bestowing a expertise to you. Mm-hmm. You're a bit of a connoisseur. So
yeah, I think it's evolving to that. I think new people coming in are not necessarily looking to pick up that scout badge and grab the word nerd right away. But I think that the people that have been here forever, because you're not getting it screamed at you, and I do think that more often than not, it's not derogatory. I think that there is a little sense of pride.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds, they were the heroes.
We're
the heroes.
Definitely. Well, I think there's definitely a sense of warmth and endearment to the nerds that you write in this script, so I want to applaud you on that. One question I love to ask our writers, usually Andrew, who's one of our panelists, asks this, but he's not here this week. Having heard the script read out loud, is there anything that sort of surprised you, maybe tickled you for the positive, or something that you might consider changing in a future draft?
The way some of the jokes landed, I was like, well, that I was hoping it would land, and they did. Some of the descriptions I feel could be fleshed out, but that's like just the description stuff. Just the dialogue, and again, it was incredible hearing it read, and I was just really happy, and I'm still kind of processing it. I'll probably go back and watch it several times and probably make a few tweaks.
We were both very impressed with several of the interpretations of the characters there. I think that the standoffishness of Keith's character came out really well. I think that the obvious, you know, the level, you want Larissa to be obviously intelligent, and yet I think in some of her future episodes she's going to be like kind of a babe in the woods to the world of the business side of things, you know, coming from I had the schooling, but I don't have the real world type thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that the strength of her character sounded really great. Maybe, you know, for us to be critical about some of our writing and all this, I almost winced a little bit with some of the, I don't want to say the necessary like derogatory terms, but like some of the, you know, like just a couple of the you know, uses of slang in there and all this might, you know, be a little bit, you know, too niche and inside the world and all this. So that's a critique I think I would look at in our own writing.
Yeah, I want it to be accessible to people. So even if you're not a comics fan, you can still enjoy the show. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that also depends on where you see it airing. I mean, like, I think if this is, like, super premium cable, a lot of that stuff could stay. But if you're looking more cable or network, that you can always make those adjustments depending on which way you sort of really want to push it and focus it. So
It was great to hear the emotion of all the characters across the board. Everybody, you know, like, because we've obviously read it and reread it and have our idea and you know, I'd obviously compare it to the real world people that, you know, Zach, Keith, and Sean are our real world characters. That's three of the four owners that are here. And almost everything else like that is just derived out of other people. But to hear other people's interpretation about how you guys' interpretation on the emotional side of it and all this kind of stuff, that was great to hear.
Mm-hmm. Glad to hear it. Last question. Jake, you've done some directing and producing in Denver. Do you guys think you'd ever shoot this?
The whole reason I wrote this in the first place was I was working my job and trying to be a writer, and I was finally like, I want to film something. And I was like, well, I have a friend who has a comic store. We can use that as a set. And it started out as a little short and then have just blossomed into this. So, yes, short answer, yes. I'm hoping to.
Great. Well, keep us posted because I'd love to see it brought to life.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And if you need actors,
hey.
You know we got some here.
Hey, they're all me.
You guys did great.
Thank you.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining, and thanks for letting us read this work on air. Is there anything else you'd like to be promoting in the meantime?
I have nothing out there. I've got you kind of read off the pedigree there, so I think all that's out there. So, nope.
Great.
This was a blast.
And where can people find you if they want to connect with you and buy this script?
My email, denverweb@gmail.com. And it's also up there on scriptrevolutions.com.
Perfect.
That's a great script site. CJ Wally made it. He's one of the other guys from Amazon Studio Days. So it's a pretty cool site.
Great. So that's denverweb@gmail.com. Guys, thanks one more time, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. See ya.
Guys, this has been The Unproduced Table right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Today we read Back Issues, written by Jake Minette and Keith Boyle, who we just hung up with. Great conversation. Thanks again to those guys for joining. If you liked today's episode, I'd actually recommend an episode we read like 3 weeks ago called Noobs.
Yeah.
It's a gamer-driven script, also kind of male-driven, but with the same sense of, I think, endearment to the characters that really makes this script work. So check that out. Sean, new actor, thanks for joining today.
Yeah, no problem. It was tons of fun.
Let the people know where they can find you.
You can find me at Sean Paul Payton on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere.
Hey guys, I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow.
I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike.
I'm David Johnson. You can find me on Instagram at DavidRRJohnson89.
Perfect. And guys, my name's Jeff. You can find me online at Jeffrey C. Graham. We will be on hiatus for a couple weeks. I'm actually going to get married. So,
congratulations.
Yes, so I'm flying to Indianapolis to get a wife. So, to take
that
a wife.
Sounds bad. Both it does sound kind ways of bad. Sound awful.
I'm going to take a wife in the Midwest, but so we'll be out for a couple weeks, but we will be back last week in August. I've got some really exciting scripts coming up, so thank you for joining, and we will see you guys in 3 weeks. Bye.
Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.